This is Django Rips, a podcast for learning web application development in Python using the Django web framework. We explore all of Django's features to equip you with the knowledge to build your own web app. I'm your host, Matt Lehman. Episode 2, Enter with URLs. Welcome back to Django Rips. On the last episode, we talked about Django from the highest level. We discussed some things like what the framework is, what does it do on the web, how does it communicate with your browser, and how does it fit in compared to other web technologies that are out there. But now it's time to get into some code. So let's talk about Django's front door, which are URLs themselves. And we're going to start by redefining URLs. URLs stand for Uniform Resource Locators. And they're the addresses that you put into a web browser. So when you go to DjangoRips.com or Wikipedia.org or MattLehman.com or whatever site you're going to, that is a URL. And there are different parts to a URL, and I'd like to break them down just so you have a good understanding of what they are. Not all of them are used by Django, at least in this discussion here today, but it's good to know what the pieces are. So if you look at a full URL, you'll see that there are different parts to it. Let's use one from my own website to make an example out of this. So we're going to consider https://www.mattlehman.com/django-riffs/. So in this URL, it starts with a scheme. The scheme is the part that leads up to and includes the first two slashes. That is https://. So this is your browser, or this is telling your browser that this is the protocol that we want to use in this scenario. And as we discussed last time, HTTP is the hypertext transfer protocol. The second piece of this that we need to look at is the domain name itself. And the domain name actually has a few different parts in this scenario. There is what's considered the top level domain, and that's a .com. So when you do a browser request, what's really happening is a lot of translation with DNS and a bunch of other stuff, and it kind of works back to front, if you will. So com is the highest level kind of lookup of where things are, and different domains might live under that. And I'm just using com as an example. There's also .org, .edu, all of these other things. But com is considered a top-level domain. The next piece of that is the domain of my personal website, Matt Lehman. This is the thing that people are most likely to recognize. That's Wikipedia, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. That's usually the main part of the domain. After that, if we continue to look left, we've got the www. This piece is considered a subdomain of the domain, and it's whatever name you choose. So this could be mobile, this could be www, this could be mail. There are all different kinds of things that you can put on a domain name, and it's usually specific to some part of the domain name. And finally, there is the path or the route. And in this example, that's the /django-riffs/part. And that's really what we're most interested in today. The part that Django really cares about is what comes after the domain. Now, it does use the other pieces in the full URL for other purposes as it sends the request back out to the user and as part of the HTTP response and all sorts of other processing. But for today's discussion, the path or route at the end is really what we care about. So let's talk about that part. When Django is looking at the URL, it is trying to figure out where do you want to send it in your own code. The URL is the entry point into the system. And when you are going to a specific path, you're instructing Django that you want something from that part of the website. So Django has some rules in place to help define where you get routed to. And those rules are called a URL configuration. And if you look in the documentation, you'll actually see this called URL conf, C-O-N-F for short. So we need to figure out where Django puts this URL configuration. The main URL configuration and the place where Django will start is actually controlled by a setting in your settings file. And that is going to be named root_URL conf. And if you look in your settings file, the default file from a start project would be named something like settings.py, and it would be put in a certain directory that matches whatever name you passed into the start project command. But you'll see that it points to a module path, and that module path will look like project.urls if you named your project project. A little confusing, but I'm going to stick to project as the name of our project, even though if you're in a real scenario, you might call that something totally different. So a URL conf is actually a Python module, and it's a module that has a special list in it. So if you open up that project URLs file, what you're going to find is a couple of things, but the first primary thing to note is that there is a list in there, and the list is named URL patterns. And this is what Django uses to act as the rules to follow when looking at the routes that get passed to the application when somebody makes a request. The URL patterns are going to have a variety of things in there, but they're mostly going to be instances of an HTTP route using a function called path. And this will make a little bit more sense as we get into it and as I talk through some code, but there's going to be a variety of these path calls, and Django will want to match them from top to bottom to try and figure out which route goes to which chunk of code that will be executed. So when it does its matching, it goes through the list, and if it finds a match, like it finds Django riffs that I mentioned earlier, it would look up for that path and it would hand it off to a chunk of code. That chunk of code is called a view, and it's the main processing in the application. But we're going to talk more on views in a bit. So as a reminder about the structure of Django projects, there's actually a distinction between a project and an application. A project is meant to be the high-level organizing piece of your system, and applications are meant to be the components or modules that you'll use within your system to kind of compose things together. So I'm going to describe right now a chunk of Python code that you would find in a urls.py file, and it would be the basic sort of configuration for a starting project. So the code will start with an import from django.urls to import path. And we also need to import a views module. And so we're going to call our example application the boring name of application. This is, again, something you would choose specific to your project, but I'm going to call it application to make it very clear. So we have from django.urls import path, and from application import views. Then we have our list, and that list is named URL patterns. And the first item in it is a call to this path function with an empty string, and the views.home is the second argument to this call. And then a second entry in this list will be another call to this path function with about slash, and the second argument to that is views.about. So this is just an example to give us context of where we are, and there are a few things to note about this particular configuration. So the first thing is that the home view that we've defined has this empty string. Empty string really matches the root of a website. So if we're talking about mattlehman.com and there's nothing after it, that is what would match to an empty string, because when Django does its URL conf matching rules, it excludes everything prior, it excludes the scheme, it excludes the domain, and it excludes the leading slash character. So if you exclude all that stuff, all that's left on a bare reference to a website is an empty list. So that's why it matches the first thing. The next pattern that we have is this about slash. So that will literally match to something like mattlehman.com/about/, and we'll hand off to the code to handle that in the views.about view. So there's something that we should note here. There is a trailing slash in all of these things, and you might not encounter this on every website you go to on the internet. And the trailing slash is actually a design choice made by the Django development team. There is documentation that you can find about why they made that choice, but it's really controlled by a setting called append slash. But whenever you're considering views in Django, they will end with a slash. And if they don't end with a slash, the default behavior is actually to do a redirect request and go to the view with a slash. So if you went to example.com/about, Django would redirect that, which basically send the user to a new page, enter the URL configuration from the top again, but this time it would be example.com/about/. Okay, hopefully that's clear. So we have our URL configuration, and we need to talk about path. Path is a very key function in this whole system, and it describes the routing rules themselves. So the first parameter that is part of path is the route. And in the example we've discussed so far, the route has been what seems to be just a string that is pointing to either an empty string or an about, and it doesn't seem like much more than that. So if that's all it was, then it would be totally reasonable for Django to use a dictionary where the keys of the dictionary were strings that were routes and the values were the views. And this is a fairly common dispatch pattern if you're doing some other Python code. But the reality is that the route is more powerful than just a string. This route can actually contain a variety of things depending on which type of function you're using. But the thing that it can contain in this context that we care about is something called a converter. So let's consider another example, and I'm going to exclude all the boilerplate about import paths and that sort of stuff, but let's consider a call to path, and the string now contains blog slash, and then it has a less than character, followed by int, followed by colon, then year, and then a greater than character, and then a slash. And that's the contents of the string. And the second argument to that call would be something like views dot blog by year. So what we have here is an example of a converter. So this, the thing that is between these less than greater than symbols, it is a special piece of string text that Django will look for, and its job is to extract some information from the URL. The way that it does this is that there are some built-in converters that are available, and int is one of the built-in converters. So if you were to make a request to matlehman.com/blog/2020, then what the converter would do is it would pull that apart and match on the 2020 string. And since that's an integer, it would convert that from a string format into an actual native Python integer data type and pass that to your view. Again, we'll explain views in just a second more, but just know for now that there is data that's getting pulled out of the URL that can be used later for later processing. In the start of this conversation, I mentioned that the order is of particular importance, and it doesn't seem like it if all you have is plain strings, but now we're in a scenario where we can see how the order matters. Let's consider an example of two different views with very similar paths, but they're in different orders, and see the impact of this. So the first example is like the one we just mentioned. It's path. It has a string with blog slash, and then a converter, an integer converter with a year as the variable. And the second argument is views.blog by year. The second entry into this URL list is path with a string of blog slash 2020 slash, with a second argument of views.blog for 2020. Now, let's contrast this with a different example where those two paths are actually just flipped. So path with a string of blog slash 2020 slash, and then the second entry, if you remember, is the would now be the path with blog slash int year, and both pointing the same views. There's a difference between these two things. And because Django maps from top to bottom, the first example that had the converter before the blog 2020 means that the blog 2020 view will never be called because Django will stop whenever it finds a match. So a blog with converter, an integer converter that matches that year means that it's going to stop at views.blogbyyear and never reach the blog 2020 that's kind of hard-coded. Conversely, if we have the blog 2020 first and someone tries to visit blog 2020, then it will match that first rather than going to the next one that includes the converter. So this is to highlight that the order matters, and if you have a more specific route that is going to be matched by something earlier and you actually want it to be reachable, then you need to put it first in the list. And again, all of this stuff is going to be in the show notes. So if at any point the examples of code don't come through clearly through the way I've spoken this, I'm still learning how to do this well, so apologies there, then you can review this on the show notes, which I will share the link to later. We've talked a bit about path, and we've talked about the order, we talked about converters a bit, but before we can continue on, we need to talk about views. And I'm not going to cover views in depth on this episode because that is for the next episode, but you do need to have a basic understanding of what a view is in order to appreciate what the path stuff is doing for you. A view is a chunk of code that can take an HTTP request and return an HTTP response. And when I say HTTP request and HTTP response, I am referring to specific Django classes at this point. Django has classes that wrap up the raw HTTP request and response data and provide it as convenience objects that you can use in your code so that you don't have to deal with that stuff manually. We have another chunk of code where we're looking now at an application's views.py file, and we're importing from django.http import HTTP response. We're creating a function, and that function is def blog by year, and the first parameter is request, and the second parameter is year. And it can do some parsing on that information, but that we're going to leave out those details for now. And ultimately, it returns HTTP response with some sort of response string as the output. This view that I've described matches up with a view that would be used in the path example from earlier that included the converter. So we talked about a converter having an integer type, and it had a year on the right-hand side of the colon, and that year name becomes the argument that gets passed into this view function that we want to call. So that's convenient because it does a lot of good stuff for us. So if you think about this at a lower level, we didn't have to do any kind of parsing ourselves. We didn't have to take the URL and do a bunch of string manipulation and pull out all of the pieces of that to start reacting to them. Instead, Django did this work for us. It received a request like blog/2020. It matched that with a converter. It found a 2020 in there. It extracted that portion of the string, cast it into an integer type, and then is handing it to the view to say, hey, here's the year in the type that you want. Now go do with it what you want. This is nice because we didn't have to write any of that code, and code you don't have to write means that there are fewer mistakes possible. Anytime you have to write code, there's an opportunity for you to make a mistake. And the benefit of relying on Django for this is that this code was written a long time ago, and somebody wrote it and made sure it's correct, and it's running on thousands of sites all over the world, and we can rely on the fact that it's doing the right thing. So that's really cool. That covers the path function. We also need to look at a different option, and it's the option that you need to use if you have something more complex. In our example with the year, the integer converter doesn't care what type of integer it is. So for us today in 2020, the year, we consider it to be ourselves in the 21st century, and usually we think of years as being four-digit things, if we're in a modern context with the internet and not considering old history. So perhaps you would expect URLs to match exactly four digits. Now, I know this won't apply to every site, so if you're doing some ancient history thing or you're on some different calendar, please don't get too upset with me. I'm just trying to make an example more than anything else. But it's possible to use a different tool in the toolbox to match exactly four digits, not just any integer, but a four-digit year. And the tool to use that is called the REPATH function. And RE stands for regular expressions. Regular expressions are a feature in Python. It's kind of a mini language that is really good at parsing text. And the regular expression path function actually used to be the way that Django handled things by default, but Django 2, I believe, introduced path and made things a lot nicer and simpler with converters. But this is the way that things used to be. And there's a lot of power in regular expressions. Unfortunately, it's already hard enough to convey code, and regular expressions are extremely gnarly when translated to audio because they use a lot of special characters that have very special meaning. So I can't really go into depth on regular expression paths, except to say that if you want to see one worked out, you can go to my website. I have an Understand Django series, and in my article on URLs, I give a full worked out example where you can see all of the pieces and exactly how a four-digit number could be matched. And again, I'm just using four-digit number matching as an example you can consider, but regular expression matching can match all different kinds of patterns with a bunch of complex rules and have all the power of the regular expression engine that's built into Python. It's a bit of a complicated topic, and at this stage, you may never need it, but just to know that it's there is beneficial. We've covered path, and we spoke briefly of REPATH as the building blocks for routing to individual views in an application. But what about groups of related views? If you have views that work in conjunction with each other, is there a way to put them together so you can consider them as a unit? And if you can't guess, the answer is yes, there is. Let's think about a website that's devoted to some fantasy adventure, for example. And we're going to go back to our trusty projecturls.py file. And from django.urls, import path, like we did before. And this time, we're going to think about a heroes application rather than our generic application. So from heroes, import views as heroes underscore views. And now we've got our list of URL patterns, and the path this time is a string of heroes slash, which will go to our heroes views.index view. And the second path is heroes slash with an integer converter that has the hero ID value, and that will go to our heroes views.herodetail. So in this example, there's some problems with it. The fact is we put the hero views directly in this project URLs file. So the project level is aware of hero view specifics, and it kind of breaks this abstraction that you would like to include. You would like the application to be able to stand alone and not have to have the project know about the detailed views that are available. What we're going to do is switch to a different scheme. The different scheme is now going to use something called include. So revisiting the same project URLs file, we're going to refactor this thing. So now what we've got is from django.urls, import include and path. And we have URL patterns, it's a list. And the first item is heroes slash, like before. But the second parameter, rather than pointing to a views function, is a call to this include. And the string that's passed to include is heroes.urls. Heroes.urls is actually a reference to another module. The nice part about URL configurations is they kind of tier up into a tree-like structure. So if we point to this other module, it's a heroes.urls.py file, and it's very similar into the root URL configuration. It's got from django.urls import path like before, and this time we are doing a relative path import of from.importViews, so it's referring to local stuff now. And there's another URL patterns list, and this time we have path with an empty string, views.index, and path with a integer converter with hero ID as the variable, and that's pointing to views.heroDetail. The difference is now the urls.py file in heroes doesn't need to know about the pathing where it's been placed in the project. So the project dictates the heroes application is under heroes slash, but the heroes app itself didn't need to know that. And that's nice because if we ever needed to change that, we could. We could consider a world where we change heroes to champions, and the heroes app might stay the same directory name for legacy reasons, and you don't necessarily want to rename all your directories, but you could change the heroes that's in the project urls.py file, and nothing else would have to change. That's pretty nice. We're now have the ability to talk about referencing URLs in our own code. We've described how URLs are built in the Django URL configuration, and that explains how users come into our site and get routed to the proper view, but that's only one part of the equation. What happens if you need to reference a URL in your own code? Maybe you have a view that redirects to some other view on the site, or maybe you need to provide links to some other view on the site. How can you do that? Well, the most obvious choice might be to hard code that URL string. So if you wanted to, you could say slash heroes slash, and that would work. But it's not the best choice. Because remember earlier I said we could easily change heroes to something else like champions. And if we did that and we had hard-coded strings everywhere, now we have this problem where we need to go through our project and rename all of these hard-coded strings to this new name. That's not great. Django has a tool to let you manage this without having to rename everything. And the tool is the name parameter of the path function. We ignored it earlier because I didn't need to introduce it yet, but now is the time. So the name of any sort of path entry is a layer of indirection that can be inserted into the application. It's probably worth explaining what indirection is so that you can get a good understanding of how it's used in computer science and what it's doing for us here. Indirection is a technique that's common in programming to introduce a different layer or a different set of names that you can apply to something. If we can give our view or our URL a different name in this context rather than the actual string that gets presented to the user, then we've got a handle on it that we can use in different ways that no matter what the underlying data changes to of the actual route string, that is kind of a user-facing feature, we can refer to it commonly. Indirection gets used in these circumstances where anytime an extra level of control needs to be inserted that gives programmers more power, and that's exactly what's happening with this URLs example. So let's look back at our code for the heroes urls.py file. All the rest of it stays the same, but now if we go to the path instance or the path call in the URL patterns list, we see that we can add a keyword argument of name and give it a value of the string index. I use the name index in these examples because it's like a kind of a conventional name used for a sort of a list page. So when I say index, I'm really referring to like a list of users. Maybe I should have used list, but that kind of conflicts with Python's built-in use of lists, so I wanted to make a distinction there. So now that we have this index name inserted, we need a tool to be able to do a lookup of the proper string, because index doesn't mean anything to an external user. When they come to your site, they're not going to say example.com/index. That's not meaningful. And when you are creating other pages, you're not going to link to index. That doesn't mean anything either. You instead want to refer back to /heroes/. The tool that we have to do the lookup of the proper string name is a function called reverse. It's in the django.urls module. And so you say from django.urls import reverse, and it accepts an argument that is the string that we match to the name. So in our example above, if we did a reverse on index, then we would get back the string /heroes/. There's a problem with this approach, though, in that index itself is not a very unique name. What if you had a different app, an app like Villains, and maybe there's a way to list out the villains, and you might also want to name that index? That seems to be in conflict, and it is in conflict. Who wins in that scenario? So the name index becomes ambiguous. How can we get around that? We can create a namespace. So here's something I'd like you to do, if you're able to. Go to a terminal or a command prompt and type Python to get a REPL, which is a read, evaluate, print loop, and type import this. And what you're going to get is a little blurb of text called The Zen of Python by a gentleman named Tim Peters. And The Zen of Python is something that you will see referenced from time to time in the Python community. And it's a bunch of ideas about ways that we should write code. And pay attention to the last line. The last line says, namespaces are one honking great idea. Let's do more of those. So a namespace is a way to group things such that you can avoid these conflicts that I was talking about with the ambiguous index. One choice that you can do to give your name of your URL something that is unambiguous is to prefix it with heroes_ or something like that. And what that does is now there's no conflict between heroes and villains. It's referring to something very unique. And, you know, there are plenty of Django developers that do this. If this is how you would like to name your views, by all means do that. It's a fairly simple approach and it works. I've done it in the past and you can go for it. But Django does give us another tool that we can use to add namespaces without prefixing every single name that we have. So if we return to our heroes.url.py file, everything that we had from the previous version is the same, but we add to the module a variable called app_name with a value of heroes. And that is all that we need to do to introduce a namespace to our heroes application. Now, we need to make a small tweak to how we use reverse. So we've got a reverse function from before, and the first argument, rather than being index, is now heroes:index. And that will return our /heroes/view. So what we've done with this small change is deconflicted between our applications. And the nice benefit of this is that in your urls.py file for your particular apps, you can use the nice simpler name of index or detail or whatever names you choose to use and let the app name namespacing allow you to keep those nice short simple names. So that's about it for URLs. We've covered making a URL configuration by creating a module with a list of URL patterns. We talked about the actual path function. And we touched on REPath, even though I couldn't really speak to it in detail, but you know that it's available for you there. We also looked at converters and how to extract information for views. And then after touching on converters, we talked about how to group related URLs together with the include function. And then we moved on to discussing referencing URLs by a name as a layer of indirection so that we don't have to refer to URLs by their raw string. Finally, we put related names together in a namespace so that we can avoid resorting to using something like myapp_someViewName. So in the next episode, we're going to look into views We've got the basic definition of something that takes an HTTP request and returns an HTTP response, but there is so much more to views. There's so much more baked in there. And so we're going to discuss view functions, view classes, some of the built-in supporting views that help you shortcut some work yourself, and some decorators that will help you supercharge your views for various purposes. Full show notes for this episode are available at www.mattlehman.com/DjangoRiffs/2. Thanks for listening to this episode of Django Riffs. You can follow the show at DjangoRiffs.com. If you have something to share, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is MBLehman, or follow the Django Riffs handle to keep up with the show. If you've enjoyed the show, please rate or review on iTunes, Spotify, or from wherever you listen to podcasts. Your rating will help others discover the podcast, and I would be very grateful. Django Riffs is supported by listeners like you. If you can contribute financially to cover hosting and production costs, please check out my Patreon page at www.patreon.com/mblehman. The theme music for Django Riffs is Open Roads, used with permission from Purple Planet Music. I hope you'll join us next time to learn more about Django. Take care.